We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ron, let's go right back out to the Hall and Capitis fan hotline, shall we? For our friend Brian Batko from the Post-Gazette. Brian, how are you today?
Doing well. Hi, guys. Ron, also belated condolences. I know it's the first time we've talked in a while. So.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, man. Thank you.
Brian, I'm wondering this week if we're going to see, and I've been thinking about this, how it's going to look in that defensive backfield, if we're going to see the new and improved Cam Sutton, the guy we're seeing now, teamed up with Mike Hilton in some of these sub-packages, and what that could do to sort of transform their secondary.
Yeah, Joe, I think Cam Sutton has looked great. I mean, how can you not say that? Three straight games with a forced fumble, that's like unheard of, especially for a kind of a role player type of guy. So, yeah, to me, it makes this dime defense potentially much more consistent over the second half of this season. And I think when the big bad wolf that's looming for the Steelers is a team by the name of the Kansas City Chiefs that can throw the ball all over the yard, there's never a better time to kind of stumble upon a formation where you can have six reliable defensive backs on the field at all times. And we'll see if the Steelers get a chance to kind of tinker with that over the course of the rest of the regular season. But it's a positive development in the absence of Mike Hilton.
Mike Tomlin has been very outspoken about how valuable Mike Hilton is to the run defense. And how valuable is he, in your opinion? I mean, it's not just blowing smoke, I don't believe. I think Tomlin truly believes that.
Yeah, and it's pretty rare, I feel like, Ron, for him to go out of his way to praise a player like that as often as he is, especially when you figure that the Steelers are going to have some competition financially for his services next offseason, given that Hilton's going to be a free agent. I think he's definitely kind of a unique run stopper when it comes to playing that position. I mean, Cam Sutton is actually a little bit bigger and he's punching the ball out right now, which is what you want to see. But I just don't see him flying to the ball as quickly as Mike Hilton does. I mean, at 5'8", maybe even generously listed at that, he just plays with no fear, and he throws his body around, and that to me is what makes him the player that he is for this defense. I mean, he can go put his nose in there to get a sack. He can go put his nose in there to try to bring down a running back. I don't think Cam Sutton is quite as good at that, so it'll certainly help to, you assume, have Mike Hilton back not only this week, but probably be even bigger to have him back for the rematch with the Ravens on Thanksgiving.
Well, you knew we were going to ask you about the run game, so I'll ask it in this form. It feels like Vance McDonald is almost an extra tackle more than a tight end at times this year and is very helpful to their run game. What's his status right now, Brian, and do you agree with that?
I don't know what his status is, Joe. I mean, I think from looking at other teams and from trying to parse through the many memos and COVID protocols that the NFL has sent out since the beginning of the year, that he could be eligible to return this week and be active to play Sunday. But that all assumes that he's feeling well and is healthy, and I hate to assume that these days. So, I mean, I hope Vance McDonald is doing well. I don't believe Mike Tomlin or Ben Roethlisberger were asked about him specifically the last couple days. So if he does come back, it can help them in those two tight end sets. I looked this up, I think, a week or two ago. They were averaging 5.6 yards per play in that personnel, and that was also what they were averaging overall on offense. So It's not as if Ebron and Vance McDonald playing together was being wildly successful for them, but it also wasn't as disappointing as maybe some people might have assumed, given the lack of production from Vance in the passing game. I do think he can help them as a blocker still going forward, and they've got to figure out something that can spark this run game. I mean, if Mike Tomlin is serious about saying James Conner will remain the bell cow, then by, you know, simple logic, that means that the other guys around him are going to have to step it up.
Would you agree? I personally, what Eric Ebron has brought has been better than advertised for me. What a target he's been for Ben, especially, you know, obviously he and Claypool in the red zone. Has he been better than what you expected?
Yeah, I agree with you, Ron. I thought people were maybe starting to overrate that addition a little bit during training camp and what would have traditionally been preseason time. But he seems to be gelling with Ben Roethlisberger perfectly. He's fitting in with that receiving core, giving them kind of a slightly different guy. I mean, they went out and got two bigger targets for Ben and Ebron and Claypool. But I think the fact that he is, you know, nominally a tight end, other teams are matching him up with linebackers maybe more often than the other guys. And, you know, we know the rap sheet on Ebron is he's able to take advantage of that. So to me, you know, he's had a couple drops here and there, a fumble loss, but his hands have been better than I think they were in previous stops. That was a major concern coming in. He doesn't have much of a reputation as a blocker. I would say that has kind of been the case this year too, but it's not like he's getting noticeably bullied on a lot of the plays that he's in there. And hey, as much as they're using him, they are obviously happy enough with what he can do as a blocker that they want to see what, you know, they want to keep him in there for the passing game too. So yeah, I think he's been a really good acquisition, and Ben seems to like throwing to him a heck of a lot.
Brian Bacco of the Post-Gazette is on the Hall and Capitis fan hotline. You can follow us on Twitter at 937thefan.com. Brian, if they get through these next two games, are they going to go 16-0?
Well, I think the Ravens game is still probably the one that sticks out to me as the toughest. I know they seem to have figured out that passing offense with Lamar Jackson the last time they played, and they'll have reinforcements back against the run and Tyson Alualu and Mike Hilton. But John Harbaugh has been doing such a good job there, and I still think Lamar Jackson is so dangerous that you can't count on sweeping a team that good, even if you get them at home. But after that, yeah, the only game that really stands out to me as a tricky one is that road trip to Buffalo. So I think if I were going down the line right now, picking the final, seven games, I would have them down for two losses, those two games, Baltimore and Buffalo. But yeah, you get through the Ravens game, you get through Thanksgiving week at 11-0, and suddenly it'll seem even more realistic. And I have to think that the players themselves have that in the back of their mind. They try to keep this let's go 1-0 mantra each week, but you know that they're starting to look at the standings, and that window is getting more and more open. There's, you know, just less ground they have to cover, and what they've done so far is remarkable. They just have to keep it up, and you get through the Ravens a second time, and you'd have to be feeling pretty good about it.
You know, it's funny. We're allowed to look past Jacksonville like it's an automatic win here. Hopefully they aren't, and I know Tomlin just gushed about them the other day, you know, saying it has ridiculous respect for professionals and all that kind of crap. How can they lose this game, or can they lose this game?
I mean, I'm not going to say they can't, because that's kind of where I was with the Cowboys game, and they very nearly proved me wrong, but maybe they proved me right by basically giving the Cowboys every opportunity to get back into that one and still not losing in Dallas. So I'll tell you guys, I was on conference call with Joe's old pal Doug Marrone yesterday, and you know, he was nice enough with us, but he even sounded resigned to the fact that this is just going to be such a mismatch for his team Sunday in Jacksonville. I don't know if he's sandbagging or what, as a 1-8 coach who's, you know, probably trying to keep his job after this season. But I think they're going to get after Jake Luton early and often. I'm not a believer in him. Wasn't a believer in Garrett Gilbert either, but perhaps that game is a bit of a wake-up call for this team, and especially the defense that they can't just walk in there and expect to win. against anybody. And I think this team actually needed to be brought back down to earth a little bit after surviving against the Ravens and Titans in back-to-back weeks.
Brian Bacco, you can read his stuff at postgazette.com. Brian, you're a marvelous man, a patriot, a philanthropist, a spiritual giant, and unmatched in your field. Thank you.
Sure thing, guys. And thanks to Horse, who had me on here twice.
That's right, Horse. Horse gave you an early call today. You were ready. You were ready then, too. We appreciate it, man. Ron, I actually don't know if Brian is a philanthropist, but he seems like he would be, doesn't he?
Yeah, I don't know either, Joe. I'm going to take your word for that one.
Coming up, I'm going to take your word for this. You told me you were going to have a story about a trip to Kansas City. Let's ask Ron about that next. And we also have a couple of other things to talk about here today, Ron. One is, do we agree with what Brian just said about the Ravens, about this pass defense? Couple of other items I want to get to before the end of the show. It's Cook and Joe.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.